Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie, that's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. You guys, we have two episodes today to talk about Kyle and Amanda's shitty relationship. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. Welcome to Summer House Day, Summer House Finale Day. But before we get into that, we are doing our cabaret in New York City, June 3rd and June 5th. It's sold out, but there are live stream tickets available. The live streams are going to be super fun because there's a chat room in there. And every year we do this for the crappies and it's lit in there. It's a party. It's so much fun. You guys can talk to each other, make fun of us as the show goes on. You can buy those tickets up until showtime, but you can watch them a week after. So don't think you can buy them late because you can't. Buy them now, but then you can still watch them for a week. So to get those tickets, go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, if you want videos of our recaps or you want ad-free listening or you want bonus episodes or you want our newsletter, which is free, that's like a blog I do every week recapping all these shows in written form, obviously. So that's fun. Go over there and get that at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And today is Summer House Season 10, Episode 16. Ski you later.
Ski you later, alligator. Yeah. It's the end. The end of an era. Because the question is, will the trio of Lindsay, Kyle, and Carl be returning to Summer House next season? Or will they be transitioned off into the elder care known as in the city? We'll have to see. But it was the end of an era because it was, you know, it's obviously going to be the last summer of Kyle and Amanda still being together. And as they left at the end, as we start to transition over to in the city, you could tell that everyone had this vibe of like, it's not going to be the same next year. And part of me wonders, do they always cry at the end of this summer, but they just never show it on TV? Cause it's like, oh, it's the end of the school year. You know, like it reminded me so much of when I graduated from college, and after graduation, after the ceremony was done, you're still on campus. And then like, you now have to pack up and you have to like pack up your car and drive off. And you're just sort of like sitting there, like enjoying those last few minutes while you're still technically in college. And then you're like driving off to start the next chapter. And like, it's a very emotional time. And watching this really reminded me of that. And I wonder if they feel this way every time. It's like the end of summer camp, end of college, end of something or another. So,
oh, that's so sweet, Ben. I can just imagine you crying, like calling your mom.
I was getting choked up when I watched this. I was getting choked up, but I was also like, I also felt manipulated because I kind of feel like they probably also have this moment every single year, but this is the year that they show it because because it is the end of an era in many ways. And it's 10 years and Bravo was like just trying to make us cry. And I was like, well, guess what? It kind of worked for me. You did make me kind of cry.
Yeah, it didn't for me. Just because we're such different people. You know, when I left high school, I didn't get to graduate high. Well, I didn't get to. I chose not to graduate from high school because I wasn't getting my PE credit because I refused to go to PE class, which I believe is my right. And they were like, well, you have to come back for another whole year then to get a credit. And I was like, no, I'm not going to. So I got my GED. But as I drove away from the high school, I was like that little girl in the meme with the building burning behind her and she's just smirking, you know? So that's kind of how I look at everything, including.
I was hoping you would say you're including like Conrad driving off from Laguna Beach up to Los Angeles to start your life in the hills.
Well, kind of. I moved to New York on my 18th birthday. I went on a bus for 3 days and then slept on the streets of New York City. So, I mean, you know, same thing. The non-privileged version, I guess, of that. Yeah.
Feel those rats on your skin.
Yeah. So, you know, living like that in New York, too, and then watching this show and just seeing how everybody's like so rich and, you know, even the poor ones like, I'm so poor. And then you see their apartments and it's like, this is $10,000 a month. What the fuck are you people talking about? But yeah, so I have a different kind of view of it. But I would, you know, I look at it as like burn the house down. You know, you've got all these shit relationships and all these shit memories. Just burn it down. Build a new house. This door is still broken.
Yeah, I know the door suddenly like not working again after a summer of competence was hilarious to me. Like it started to act up last week And then this week it fully was like jammed up again. And I'm like, it's like that what movie is? Is it like the Lord of the Rings or something? Like the sword that glows when it's like in the presence of evil or something? Like when shit's about to go down, that door swells and warps and like does not open up anymore. It's like,
yeah,
it is about to go down. Scandal is about to happen.
Well, might have to do with Kyle slamming it and throwing stuff against it last week when he was mad. But you know,
Loverboy warped it. He threw the Loverboy can at it and those juices warped the wood.
Maybe it tasted Loverboy. Maybe it tasted the Loverboy espresso martini flavor. I was like, ooh, what the fuck is this? So I'm sorry, Loverboy. I tried, but yikes.
I did not know I still have that.
I still have it in my fridge, and I bought it 3 years ago when it came out. We drank, me and my sister tasted one, and we're like, no, no. I'll drink the purple one, though. That one's pretty good. Okay, anyway, the point is, it's the season finale. Everybody dies at the end. Okay, yeah. Let's move on to the city.
More or less. Okay.
Spiritually, everybody dies at the end.
Yeah, that is pretty true.
Souls
are- but we are still in our après ski party, and everyone's dancing and having a great time. And then Kyle basically tells Ben, who would have known that you pulling your pecker out in Italy would have led to this, right? He's like, well, you must have been impressed, am I right?
I guess,
did he mean that like who would have thought that because you did that now you would be here on the show dancing in the ski party?
I think he means that Kyle acts the same. One thing that's great about Kyle is that he's consistent. You know, he's the same when you meet him in real life. He's the same parting after in real life as he is on this show. He's just the same. And I imagine that they were in Italy together for that wedding or whatever. And Kyle whipped out his dick in the backyard. Was like, I'm going to piss right by this pool. And so Ben came up and peed next to him and they had their wieners out.
Oh,
it was like, you should come on Summer House, you know, cause that's very Kyle, like, love your dick. Come on Summer House. And I'm imagining that's what they're talking about. Did you read the comments that we missed last week that Ben and Kyle were like staring into each other's eyes like they were going to make out? I didn't even notice that.
100% did not see that. It became like a meme. And now Kyle put a whole thing. I fully missed that, which is really a shame because I love picking up on homoerotic subtexts. But I guess I just was looking at like overtext. Maybe it's because when I see Ben, I just naturally avert my eyes at this point.
Well, yeah, maybe it's like heated rivalry where like we don't need subtext anymore. That's not gay enough. I need like actual hardcore butt munching or something to see it. Mm-hmm. Like if it's not, if you're not like sucking a dick, I just don't even care anymore. Like I don't care. Like maybe he's gay, maybe he's not. I just believe whatever you say unless I see, you know, some munching or whatever. So I didn't really notice it. But then today I did because it was pointed out. And I was like, these guys really do have some subtext here. There's something cute about it. They've got like a good energy, you know. I'm not saying they're gay. I'm just saying if they were gay,
just saying they're pussies,
I would watch them do whatever they do on Twitter.
They're like little lady men pussies. That's what you're saying. I see what you're saying. No, I'm just kidding.
I would feel lucky to room with either one of them.
I do really like how affectionate the men are with each other on this show. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago about the affection. Like straight men are very affectionate with each other, but we as a society don't really dwell on that, and we definitely don't portray that. And they're very affectionate on this show and Love Island are the shows where men are very, very affectionate. And once in a while in Vanderpump Rules there were some moments with like Tom Sandoval and like either Tom or Jax where there was some affection, but it was so wrapped up in douchiness it was hard to really enjoy. But on this show, like there's a scene later on in this episode where Jesse just crawls on top of Wes in his bed and I think like maybe kisses him on the cheek or something like that. Like they're very sweet with each other and there's nothing wrong with it. And it's wonderful. So even with Ben, it's nice.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, Amanda gives Jesse a quick, I approve of the male affection on this show. I applaud straight men showing feelings. You heard it here first. So Jesse tells Amanda he loves her. She's like, I love you. Oh, jeez. We could be friends forever outside the city, but nothing beats doing this. Like, partying really hard in the backyard.
Nothing beats doing this. Whining while everyone around me has having the time of their life. Yeah. That's kind of what she does every summer.
I could have a terrible relationship in the city, but nothing beats having a terrible relationship with all of you here to witness it. It's so much better when it's ruining everyone else's summer.
Nothing beats having a terrible relationship when you're dressed like you're on a ski slope, but it's 96 degrees and humid.
So everyone's dancing, and Kyle and Sierra go to sit down. And Kyle's like, this might be your best party yet. She goes, really? Wow, better than Snooze Fest? I mean, like, it was in the name. I actually disliked the Snooze Fest party quite a bit. I did not like the oversized beds. And I hated that reunion last year where they were all sort of sitting in. They made it look like the Snooze Fest. Ugh, I hated that so much. So Kyle is like, yeah, well, my only issue with Snooze Fest was the name. I mean, it doesn't really scream party, you know? It's like, well, that's the point. We didn't really scream party that summer. And we see last year, it's basically Sierra and Paige lying in bed.
Paige being in bed.
Yeah, we had to all be in bed with Paige. So I was like, fair. Well, you screen party this summer, that's for sure. She's like, no, I mean, I've really been like a lot better about it. But I feel like I go out with certain people and I've been like really finding my way. But I just want to like pick your head about last night. Oh, don't pick my head. Okay, it's itchy. Okay, I've got great hair. Don't pick at it. Oh, you mean metaphorically. Well, I mean, Sierra, if I'm not going to lie, I don't know how to process what we talked about on the beach. Like, I just felt hurt, and I'm really scared for the future, so I'm going to stare at my toes for the rest of the scene, if that's okay with you. Okay.
And she's like, this is Summer House, and we're all going to do this today, so I'm going to speak to you in therapy speak. I hear you. You are valid. Okay. And he's like, well, yeah, like, you know, I don't feel like anybody hears me. I don't know how to explain where I'm coming from anymore. I mean, I'm kind of drunk. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Is my eyeliner messed up? She's like, well, you don't know how to express yourself, Kyle. Okay. He's like, well, when your life is like literally falling apart and like, you're not going to react well, you know? And she's like, okay, but like you lash out, you go after your best friend, you say fuck you to people who, you know, you shouldn't be saying fuck you to, like your wife. And, you know, people get caught in your crossfire and we're trying to support you, but you know, we don't know if we need to support you together or apart, but we want you to be happy and we're not rooting for you to get divorced, but you guys need the ability to communicate and to have these conversations. I'm like, well, that's true. And I really, Sierra's advice is so good. And the way she's just laying it out there for him is also so good. I just wish she would listen to her own, because this is kind of the advice that Sierra needs to take for herself, because she spent 2 years, you know, not communicating with Wes and all this. And then it's put, you know, that's helped put them. I wouldn't say it's put it had, that's the reason it's put them, but it's kind of this like delayed maturity of the friendship where now they're like kind of back at square one and all this other stuff. Anyway, the point is you're correct, but yeah, you need to communicate as well. And also you can't really teach Kyle to communicate because Kyle only can hear his own pain and he's only going to say, but
here, I don't know, Kyle, if you need to communicate, sometimes it's better to write it down with your pee. Okay. So just go over there and just start spelling the letters. Okay. There you go. Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes, Ronnie, the best therapists, their lives are a full-on shit show, right? Like, isn't that did we learn nothing from Prince of Tides? Hello, Dr. Lowenstein.
That's true. I guess so. Yeah, because she is really smart in what she tells him. And I think she's the only person that's really explained it to Kyle this well.
I mean, by the way, how many times do we sit here? Do we sit here, especially on Below Deck, and we lecture every single person about how they should be doing their job, and a real person would do their job this way. And if you're like in a business environment, you act like this and you do this and you say this, and what you should have said in that environment, this. Do I do any of that stuff in my real life? Absolutely not. Oh, I'm laziest fucker. Okay. Yeah. I will have like my luggage will have clothes in it for 3 weeks minimum after I go on a trip, just sitting there. And I'm sitting here talking about how people should run their lives and act and behave. So I am the epitome of the person who has all the advice and recommendations in the world and does not follow a lick of it himself.
Well, yeah, but that's why we're the heads of the Hippocrat Party. So 100%. Listen, we're still in office 14 years later. So
I know
we're doing something right.
And unfortunately, we are not protected from audits from the IRS. Did you just say the same thing?
No, but that shit's funny. I can't believe what this country is doing right now.
It's awful, awful.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, but yeah, I mean, we were talking about Below Deck yesterday and filleting a fish. And I was talking about being a waiter and how much training it took to like fillet a fish and this and that. And I'm going on about filleting a fish. And I was thinking last night when I went to bed, I was like, you are such a fucking hypocrite. Like, think about all the times that you splattered fish guts onto people sitting at a table at a nice, beautiful Moroccan restaurant. And I'm just splattering fish guts literally all over people, you know? And I'm like sitting here judging people on their filleting of fish.
We were on one with Below Deck yesterday. I know a lot of people that listen to the various shows, and like if you watch Summer House, you're not necessarily watching Below Deck. First of all, Below Deck is so good. Second of all, we put in a 2-hour episode yesterday of Below Deck. We were just that fired up because we're equally fired up about men being babies and their emotions and like how like systems are sexist and how women really get the raw end of so many things and it's bullshit. And we're also fired up about how fish are filleted. Sort of at equally.
It never stopped. It was a nonstop episode yesterday. So Kyle takes Sierra's hand and he's like, I hear you. I'm sorry. I'll speak therapy dog too, all right? She's like, look at me. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't say anything to you. Now, I don't know if you can find a man at this party, but I want you to go to her and apologize and say but some more. All right, I'll do it.
So Amanda's talking to Lexi, and Amanda's like, hi, I saw Andrea, but I was asking where you were. Come on, come meet Gavin. Gavin's part of the new family. Is Gavin on in the city? I just don't remember everyone's names yet. Probably is, right?
I don't know. I haven't. In the City is one of those. I, you know, obviously I watched it and I was like, I'll learn your name when you prove yourself to me. It's like watching a new season of Below Deck where it's like, I'm going to give this 6 weeks.
Yeah. I feel like there's someone on their name, Willie, or maybe not. I don't know anyone's names except Yvonne, who talks like Emma Stone.
Georgina. I remember Georgina.
Georgina.
I feel like I really liked Georgina. She's like a crazy esthetician. And then
that's the one I said you'd like. I knew you'd like
that. I knew that was the, well, first I, cause Ben texted me and was like, oh, you're going to really like someone on the show. I'm not going to tell you who. So I was waiting. And at first I thought it might be Lexi because her voice was like, there was something weird to start with Lexi's voice, but then it turned normal. And I was like, it couldn't be Lexi. And then Georgina came on. I was like, it's Georgina. It's got to be
Georgina.
What a mess. Love her. Yeah. Anyway, that's the next hour. But for right now, I don't know who Gavin is and I don't care. So Amanda's like talking to Gavin, and then we see Bailey and she's pouring vodka in the ice luge and she's like, am I flirting? Am I flirting right now? Then outside, Jesse is talking to, he's introducing Sabrina and Ben. He's like, yeah, here's my friend. Sabrina's hot. Ben's hot. And Sabrina's like, oh my God, nice to meet you. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't be your best friend. I've already got one. Her name is Sierra. Best friends for life. Yes.
By the way, Gavin is on In the City. He's the guy who runs the bar that they go to, which we'll get to. So, yes. By the way, Sabrina, I can't with this girl. I'm sorry. I cannot with this fakey fake. It's too much. It's just way too convenient that she meets one of the breakout stars of Summer House, like the one who's most closely aligned with Paige DeSorbo. That she like meets her and immediately is like, we are soulmates. And now it's all up in her business. And it's like, I'm your confidant. You know, like, I don't know. Like, to me, I just think it's suspicious and weird. I'm sorry. I don't trust it.
She doesn't really offend me. I mean, I don't get mean vibes or anything like that from her. I definitely get crazy vibes. But, you know, they're like innocent, you know? I feel like they're innocent. Like when you watch the Billie Eilish movie, and I don't know why I'm still talking about that. I'm so sorry, but I saw it and it was good. But then you see like all the girls crying in the audience. It's like you just cut to 50,000 people sobbing. She's one of those people, you know, just one of those sobbing people. Just see her as being like an Amy Grant song. Well, maybe not Amy Grant, but like a Taylor Swift song will come on in a Home Goods and she'll just be like, oh my God, this song speaks to me because like I had a breakup this week. Oh my God. And she's just like hugging random people in the picture frame aisle, like crying over, this was us. Do you see this couple so happy in this picture frame? That used to be me, guys. I just see her being like an AI open wound. She's just an open wound, you know?
Yeah.
She's what we'd call a very young soul.
I'm sure. Yeah. Like a zygote. She's a zygote soul. She seems very nice, but I don't know. I'm suspicious. I just, you know, it was the combination of, it's one thing that we all have met people that we immediately connect with, like, oh my God, we're going to become best friends. But it was like specifically the people that it was Sierra right away. And then the fact that she got so performative about West being on a lounger with another girl. I'm like, that's fine if you connect with Sierra, but now you're going to take up for Sierra like you've been her friend for 4 years. And I'm like, I can't discount it. I don't know. I'm willing to revise my opinion down the line, but for right now, I don't trust this lady at all. And also, yeah, she voluntarily takes photos with Ben making out. And I think that, like, you combine all these things together, it's all very performative. It's very aware of the cameras. I just think there's an ick factor there for me that I do not appreciate.
Yeah, well, I can see that for sure. So Lindsay's like, and to be honest with you,
I super buried like a lot of things after the breakup, and I need to have a talk with Carl after this whole Sharon debacle. Sharon attacked me in a soft spot.
So she is going to go debacle. Have a conversation.
Anyway, Sharon came up and was like, nice to see you.
Oh my God, what a debacle.
No, I knew what Sharon was doing. That's, you know, coming to insist on shooting a scene with Lindsay so she can victimize herself. I know what you're doing. I see you, Sharon.
Sharon?
Sharon's the real problem. I'm fine with Sabrina while Sharon is still in the neighborhood.
The grass is always greener. I just think it's funny when Lindsay's like, this Sharon debacle. I'm like, it wasn't a debacle. It was just an awkward conversation. So,
yeah, but didn't it make more sense once she kind of explained it to Carl? Cause I really got it. I mean,
I thought that was good context. That was good context.
But I really got it in this conversation. So she pulls Carl aside. She's like, we need to have a talk. And she's like, yeah, I can't leave it up to Carl. Cause like he faints around me. Remember that time he literally fainted before he was proposing? And we see Carl just being a wuss.
Oh, no. I mean, sorry. Lindsay Dale Hubbard, will you revive me? Oh. So she's like,
yeah, let's go sit in the igloo.
Whoa, yeah. It's good to see that Yvonne is here. I thought Emma Stone had come to the party. I turned around. I was like, oh, my God. Two-time Oscar winner, Emma Stone. But it's just Yvonne. Her voice so similar. Anyway,
I just wanted to sit in the igloo, which is like the perfect representation of our relationship.
He's like, oh, okay, let's go up there.
Okay, so the last couple of days brought up a lot of feelings and emotions, and not really about our relationship, but our friendship.
Yeah.
Okay, well, something more.
It's like, I'm not. I'm going to show you what therapy has taught me over the course of this conversation. So please go ahead and say your piece. You're a lady and you deserve that. I hear
you. Wait, I just want to say one thing. I just want to say thank you for helping calm the situation last night during that fight. Having you do that, it meant a lot. It meant a lot.
Yeah, well, I feel like I knew in that moment, like if it were me and my voice and I looked you dead in the eyes and I was like, Carl, it would trigger you. And if that triggered you, then you would be less triggered over the other thing you were triggered about. So I was blocking one trigger with another trigger, which is my voice. He's like,
you're right. I'm still triggered right now. Thank you so much. Thank you for triggering.
It's like when you go out to, you're out in the world, it's like 3 p.m. And for some reason, someone has the exact same alarm clock. And that goes off at 3 p.m. and you get triggered because you're like so used to it being 7 a.m. and that thing going off. I was like hearing your voice. So thank you. Thank you. That really calmed me down in a really good way.
I was like, yeah, well, for me, it brought up a lot of feelings. And then on Wednesday, your soft flash bar opening, your mom came up to me and was like asking for a bunch of hugs. It was disgusting. And then asking me questions about Gemma. And I was like very uncomfortable, girl. Like I was like pretty rattled.
Really? Wow. Okay. Okay. Well, go on. I can't believe it's just talking about my mom.
We got to Sharon being like, "Well, you sure are yourself, and that's the most important thing to be, loser."
That is one of the most hilarious passive aggressive lines of the year. Like,
well, she's a little mean, just like her mom. You are you.
So Lindsay's like,
I have not spoken to her since our breakup, and I just felt like I was like glossing over everything that's like happened, and I'm just like, you know, it's just like,
it's confusing as hell, right?
Yeah, like what the hell?
Yeah, I don't think that my mother clocked it as such in the moment, though.
She's like, yeah, well, but I know that's kind of the problem, though, because, like, there's no clocking. Like, no clocking is going on. Where's the clocking?
Well, I did just tell you an alarm story, so that was something, I'm sure.
But when we broke up, like, I didn't even hear from your mom for, like, a month. And, like, I have weathered the storm already. And then, like, 2 months later, your mom's partying and celebrating, basically dancing on the grave of our relationship in Mexico.
So this, I think, puts it into context that people don't necessarily get, which is that since they broke up at the last minute, Carl was like, well, I spent all this damn money on this wedding and I'm not getting it back. So he went on his honeymoon with his mom, like he partied on this honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And then the mom is making videos, basically, you know, like lying down on the bar while busboys are doing shots out of her tits or whatever. Like, what? I broke up. Fuck you, Lindsay, you fucking loser. And so Lindsay's like, yeah, that wasn't cool. So like, your mom's publicly humiliating me and like celebrating my demise and then coming right up to me at Sauce Slash Bar when I can't even have a martini.
Right. And by the way, Sheena was there too, most importantly. And also, let's not forget that Lindsay did mention that like Sharon was like another mother for her for 10 years. And then, you know, so this breakup happens and she doesn't hear anything for 2 months from Sharon. So, you know, Lindsay already has a lot of abandonment issues with her mom as it is. And then this woman doesn't say anything to her. And then she goes off and goes on a vacation, this honeymoon, which feels very much to Lindsay, as she says, dancing on the demise of our relationship, which I think probably for Sharon, it was like, it's a free vacation. But like for Lindsay, it feels really insulting, especially when there's a headline that that's like Carl Radke's mom dances the night away with Sheena Shea in Mexico on his canceled wedding weekend. That's, you're not going to feel good about reading that kind of thing, especially when you're like, wait, why is Sheena on my honeymoon? How did that happen?
And he just goes, yeah.
She's like, yeah. And part of me was like waiting for you to say, like, you know what, Linz? I just want to talk to you one-on-one and figure out what went down after we broke up. And you never did, Carl. You never did.
And he's like, oh, I hear you.
Yeah, everything just like fell apart like 2 months before our wedding. So like that to me was like shattering. Like, how can you be my best friend of 8 years and treat me like that? Like, I thought our friendship went beyond the TV show. And I thought that like you would have like come to me first and been like, I'm honestly having second thoughts. I think we need to postpone our wedding.
No, I mean, that's true. But if we all remember that season, and that was not going to be a season where either of you guys were going to be talking to each other about anything. You were sitting there complaining about he wasn't having sex with you behind his back. And he was complaining about, you know, a million different things behind your back. And yeah, you guys were communicating.
I mean, that's true.
In the forefront of your relationship at that moment in time, you guys hated each other.
That's true. And I think they were both a disaster in that relationship. But I mean, I was definitely team Lindsay there because
totally,
you know, to like go watch the season and see that the whole season was Carl basically telling everybody like, oh my God, like, she's horrible to me. It's just blah, 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 acting like this huge victim when she's like staying calm and trying to work things out with Carl and trying to help Carl and trying to baby Carl through life and help him get a podcast started and help him get anything going. He had nothing going on ever at the time. And then to find out that he's been talking about you this whole time on national TV, like he does this season with Kyle. Like, this is Kyle's MO, you know, or Carl's MO. And so to see him doing that is, and then not ever really get to say anything. I mean, I guess she did at the reunion, but so
good. Yeah, I mean, Carl's thing is he's very non-confrontational, and so that for sure is like the issue here. So she's like, yeah, we never had a talk about this, and I want some closure, yada yada yada. And
meanwhile everybody's watching, you know, they're like, oh my God, they're talking.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So then back in the igloo, Carl's like, oh, okay, I really understand. I totally hear you. Totally valid. And, you know, it's fucked up, you know, and I'm really sorry. And I've said to Kyle,
a couple times, you know, just being able to laugh at you and talk about the good times. Oh, hold on. Oh, we've had a lot of fun. We've had good memories and I didn't handle it well, you know, and you've helped me in so many ways in my life. And I probably wouldn't be where I am today without the way you were there for me and just like pushing me and like guiding me in a really difficult time in my life and saying brick and mortar sucks. You know, you made me a better person and I'm forever grateful for that. Ugh, I just can't believe it took 2 years and you actually going, hey, dude, what the fuck?
Well, I have to do that a lot around here.
Carl's like, yeah, well, not gonna lie. When you crack the whip, it's really good. And I'm just like, so glad you like took me to come over here and talk. And I learned a lot right now. And it was a great moment for growth. Am I harboring resentment about the fact that you're talking shit about my mom? Yes. Will I just bury it deep down inside and let it fester and then complain to everyone behind your back for the next season? Perhaps. But yeah, great chat.
So that was nice. He stayed, you know, he was just like, you know, I'm not going to argue with Lindsay. I'm just going to give her what she needs, give her the apology she needs and move on, which, you know, good for him.
Yeah, because honestly, but, like, I'm on team Lindsay with this whole breakup. But the truth is he's the one who broke it off with her. So he doesn't need the closure. She's like, you never sat down with me and we never had that closure. It's like, well, unfortunately, the person who does the breaking up usually is not the person who's also going to seek out the closure because they just got their closure. They just closed it.
I closed, closed the door in your face. So that was the closure. Okay. But I did laugh when he goes, okay, Linz, learned a lot right now.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. Thanks. Yeah, I started cracking up. I'm just so like therapized. Carl speak.
As per your request, I have made sure to make a note of this. And in the future, we will do better. Thank you.
Totally. He's like, oh, please take 10% off next time you come to Soft Slash Bar. So now people are doing shot skis. And Kyle's like, I'm alive. No word on if that means Amanda or if he's looking for somebody else at this point. I'm hoping the latter. People are partying. And KJ's like, whoa, this vest, by the way, this used to be a lifestyle. Dara styled me. I was like, all right, I'll let you style me this time.
I'm anxious. Then Kyle is like, hey, Amanda, I want to introduce you to somebody.
No, I'm good.
No? So she just walks away. And so Amanda's like,
I don't want to ignore my issues with Kyle by any means. I just don't feel like arguing with him anymore. Like, I know I've had these conversations before and I know how they go. Like, do I get an apology? Maybe. Will he do it again? Yeah. And like, the only thing that's changed is like my reaction. And, you know, it's so funny because like literally Amanda would have been the people's hero. But by the end of this episode, like we would have all been cheering for her so much. So much. Like we would have been so behind her, all the decisions she makes. But Amanda,
I don't know. You know, I really don't know. And it's hard to say. But you know, while I was cheering it on through a lot of this, because Kyle is just full of shit, you know, and his apologies are bullshit. You know, I don't blame her for being pissed about any of that stuff. But I think just watching that dinner, you know, a couple weeks ago where she was sitting there smirking while Lindsay was like going off on Kyle about everything that Amanda had told Lindsay. I mean, that would have probably turned me because she's an asshole, you know, like they're.
I think Kyle being an asshole
does not negate her being an asshole. So,
yeah, no, but I think, look, we've said this relationship is doomed for many, many years. And I think that there is
literally
when Kyle said, you know, yeah, maybe the reason why I'm going out and partying so much is because I don't want to come home because like she hates me. And like, why would I want to come back to that? So like, we've really had this POV of like Kyle, like all she wants is for you to be there. And then you're not being present for her. Like, of course this is going to be done. Like she has simple requests, just do them. And I still stand behind that, by the way. But also like, you know, it's important to know that there's also the other side as well. I hate being a both sider, but I do think in a relationship, there are two sides of a story. And I think honestly, if this scandal had not broken out, I feel like we would have seen that scene with Kyle and Amanda looking at him. And I'm not sure we would have honestly scrutinized her facial reaction as much in that. I think we would have seen her as someone who's like, finally, people are seeing what I see. And we would have been like there's a world where we may have been happy for her in that moment. But I think now with the greater scandal happening and we see sort of duplicity at play and we see someone who can't fight her own battles, like we see that more in that situation. And so I think though that like without the scandal, I think a lot of us would have been cheering her on for finally taking taking control of her destiny and moving out of a situation that was making her so unhappy.
But yeah, I mean, I would have been happy that they broke up for sure because they've needed to, but she just seems just, God, she's just unbearable a lot of the time. She just really is. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's a wet blanket.
The constant whining and going behind, you know, going and telling everybody your problems and then having everybody fight your battles and then sitting there laughing when they do it. And then he's like, do you want to meet someone now? And just like being a total asshole. You know, like if you're not going to work it out, then just don't work it out. Leave, but stop dragging it on and on. It's just painful.
She's been a wet blanket for years. And I think we talked about this a few episodes ago as well. She's been a wet blanket for years. And I feel like on my part, I've tried to kind of not just lean into that and be like, she's such a wet blanket, because I just feel like it's just not fair. I do think that women a lot of times are labeled nags and wet blankets when they're not having fun because the guy says it's time to have fun. And I just think it's like really unfair to do that. And I was like, I tried to push back where I could on leaning into that feeling, even though clearly we definitely have called her a wet blanket before. But now I kind of am like, all right, can't resist anymore. She's been a fucking wet blanket for years and years and years and years, 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 years. Yeah. And I think that we've all been rooting for her, I think, and trying to hope that she gets into a better situation and like, well, she's a wet blanket, but it's because she's miserable because Kyle's making her miserable. But now I'm like, this just may be who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Kyle's been making her miserable and she does have reason to be a wet blanket sometimes, but it's like someone's making an effort towards you. For a whole, like we've seen now, is the effort quitting DJing and do, you know, for him to win, he has to quit DJing and be home every night. And he's like, no, I'm earning money and I'm not going to do that. And this is my dream and blah, blah, blah. So that should be the long and the short of it. This is what I want. This is not what you want. But instead it's like, but you won't quit DJing over and over and he won't. So that's kind of his fault too. So I'm not saying it's either one of their fault, but this whole thing of like the whole summer, you see him kind of like trying to like have a good weekend with Amanda and trying this and then her just rebuffing. Of course, on the other hand, you see Kyle still is even at the summer house going out every night after a fight instead of staying home to talk, you know? So like, I can see her point. It's just like, one of you is at least trying to be pleasant and one of you is not. And as an audience member, I'm just would rather be around the person who's more pleasant, because you're just making me fucking crazy at this point. Either shit or get off the pot. Like, honestly, jeez.
It's like when people are unhappy, they act in different ways. And Amanda's form is just acting in a way that's like not as fun. Although Kyle getting wasted and throwing shit at a door is also not fun. Okay, they're both miserable. Congratulations to us. We got to the bottom of it. So now we go back to Sabrina, and Sabrina goes up to Sierra and she's like, and Sierra's like, where have you been? She's, well, so Ben just told me that he loves me. Oh my God. And Sierra's like, really? He loves you? I know he loves me. And then 2 hours ago, flashback, Sabrina Bale, I love you and you're my person and I don't want to be with anyone else unless you don't pick up the socks you left on the floor. Could you please pick those up, little lady?
Do your chores and I will love you forever, young lady. All right. And it's like, oh my God, let's go make a baby. Oh.
See how quick that went. See how quick. It's like my fear is that if I say I love you, then all of a sudden we're going to be wrapped up in a relationship and getting way too intense. No, that's crazy. Let's make a baby.
Yeah, so then he's immediately like, we're on in the city. Okay. I'm already making my stake in the next show. Baby time in the city. Here we come, baby.
Yeah. So then Sierra's like, well, you've been waiting so long for that. She goes, I know. And honestly, you were the first person I thought of after he said it. I was like, where the fuck is Sierra? She's my most famous friend. She has to know this news. You've been the biggest blessing in my life. Oh my God. These past 10 days of knowing you, I've been changed forever.
Sierra, I didn't need as much time as Ben needed to tell me. I love you. I love you. Let's have a baby together.
She's like, okay, love you back.
The woman you are, the woman you want to be. I love you, Sierra. I love you. Okay, you don't have to do Jerry Maguire to me.
But I do. I'll be the bounty hunter. You're Renee Zellweger any day.
Oh, geez.
Just change the roles. Okay.
Just send the car over the cliff. Just let me get out first. You know.
Wait a minute. That's not how that ends.
Doesn't Jay Moore drive a cliff off the edge?
No.
Thelma Louise. Thelma. Just scratch out Thelma.
Show me the I love yous. Show me the I love yous.
Did you know a human brain weighs 8 pounds?
Help me. Help you. Make me famous.
You had me at hello, Sierra. You had me at hello.
Just call me Angel of the Morning. Deep cut. It's when Tom Cruise was driving by himself.
Oh, you're really good at this movie. You really like that movie.
Congratulations. You've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Robb.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.